Welcome back, folks. Once again to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are staying warm if you're down here in Florida. We're at a frigid 40 degrees today. We're in the 30s, allegedly the high 20s this morning.
Didn't see it in my house. I couldn't find it. Freezing.
I knew it got down to 30s. Yeah. But it was a little chilly. You know, I know some parts of the country are like snowing.
Trump's doing some emergency kind of stuff right now to try to force the utility companies to be paid by the big tech companies that are producing all these electric cars and all of the data centers, because it's driving all the utilities through the roof. I mean, the prices down here have literally gone up 40% on utility bills in the last 5 years.
Oh, it's obscene. I mean, I think the average utility bill, I mean, just average house now is like $270.
Well, I run around constantly turning the lights off. I turn lights off.
I joined the club. I got three kids. That's my life.
There's two things I could never get kids to do. You know, and we're raising them. I could never get them not to touch everything.
Yeah.
Okay, because all the germs everywhere, especially handrails. Oh, they love touching handrails.
Escalator rails. Yeah.
You can't get them.
Escalator rails. They're literally revolving, perpetual germ rotators.
Yeah.
They go in the machine and everybody touches them.
They're covered in poop.
Yeah.
I mean, feces.
They all test positive for E. coli.
And because people go to the bathroom and they don't wash their hands.
Oh, it's Friday. It's easy. Okay,
I couldn't get the kids to not touch everything. Svanna was the worst. Oh, my gosh. She touched everything. And then I can never get them to turn lights off.
I'm the same boat now. It's funny because you used to always fuss about light switches when I was younger. Could never figure out why you were so angry about light switches. Now, all I do is constantly tell everybody to turn the lights off all the time. I go to the house, lights, lights, lights. I'm like, you know what? So you guys are going to pay the electric bill next month. I'm going to take it out of your work. Hunter's got a pressure washer. He's pressure washing stuff all the time. I'm starting to pressure wash. Like, you got to pay your debt back.
Well, you know, it was funny because, you know, I was raised in a single parent household. My mom made the money and my dad was basically back in Iowa. And I remember her just absolutely going ballistic constantly about utility bills. And I'm always like, why are you so mad? Then I got my first big utility bill. I thought, I don't like this at all.
Well, and the crazy part about it is, you know, we've been out in Florida for decades and Florida utilities used to be fairly reasonable. And over the last, ever since COVID, and people started moving down here.
And cars.
And the EV cars. And all these big companies now have realized they can continue to raise the price. Because here's what happened during COVID, is a lot of individuals from other states that had already enormously high prices, like California, they're just outlandish as far as their pricing, they moved to Florida. Well, Florida at the time was dirt cheap. I mean, you could go buy a nice 3,000-square-foot house for $150,000 all day long down here in Florida. I mean, nothing abnormal.
$50 a square foot.
Yeah, $50 a square foot, and the utility bill is about $150 a month. The cost of living down here in Florida was cheap for what it provided. And a lot of areas, you know, get a little more rural, they get even cheaper. Now, you can't even buy a decent house for $300,000 or $400,000 at all. I mean, if anything is well built, has good craftsmanship, it's done. And now utility bills have tripled, quadrupled, and a lot of that is exactly what you just said. These AI data centers, the big centers, the EV centers, they've all used this justification by TECO and electric companies to massively price gouge everybody.
Well, what they do, if you look at who owns them, is BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard. It's the bloodline families, and it's the international banking cartels. And what they do, and they taught us how to do this in the MBA program. I'm going to tell you what they do here. They look at a price chart based upon sales, upon revenue, upon profit. And basically, they decide exactly where they can price match somebody to force the maximum profits. And when they do that, it allows them to increase the amount of money being paid to shareholders. And the sad part about it is that, you know, it's really kind of a thing that, like, people like to breathe free air like to do. And that means to get as much money from you as they possibly can and to gouge you. And they try and the utilities are in an inelastic demand curve. You've got to have power. In the state of Florida, you can't even live in a house without power. They will throw you off your own property if you're trying to do that. You can't just live on an isolated power. You can't use solar panels and generators on a property in Florida and live here and get a permit. They won't let you do it. So the crazy part about it is that it becomes an inelastic demand curve. You've got to have utilities. And the sad part about it is they can raise rate any place they want where the market will bear, maximize profits. And then if it starts bankrupting everybody, they'll back it down a little bit like they do at Publix.
Yep.
And I'm sorry to pick on Publix, but I've had enough of Publix. You know, I mean, I went and got a little tiny bag last night, you know, like this little bag, you know, $50. And I'm like, what the heck are you guys doing? And then you go to Walmart or you go anywhere else, you find out that, you know, the same milk that you bought at Publix, if you're buying milk, is a quarter of the price. And you're like, what are you guys doing? You guys all pay the same thing for it. But again, it's all about the $4.5 billion that Publix made last year. Because, you know, they have a legacy program in which they have to pay a lot of people a lot of money based upon stock prices, and they just maximize the profits. And, again, it's an inelastic demand curve, except that a lot of the companies are still fighting against these retailers that are charging so much money. You know, I was telling you guys, like, we found three cans of, you know, Annie's biscuits for $6. Three cans, okay? The same can at Publix was $8 for one can. And, you know, we'd gone to Costco, and I thought to myself, well, this is awful. And you know, and Publix tells their people who work there, they have like 400,000 people, employees for Publix. They tell them that they're not allowed, and they're not supposed to, and they highly suggest they don't buy groceries anywhere else besides Publix.
Right.
That's called, by the way, that's called internal consumption. Their own employees are the ones who really, really support them. Now, I will say for Publix, you go there, there's people everywhere wanting to help you.
They are.
They will show you where to walk. They'll take you to the aisle. Great service, great products, very clean. That's what you're paying for.
Well, and the thing you said, and one thing they have done, I do appreciate this about them, is they've kept a private company. They haven't gone public. So they don't have this massive push, like most companies, to this fiduciary responsibility to make their shareholders maximize profit. You know, there was a quote the other day from basically a Peter Ross, who used to work for Pfizer, one of the big Pfizer execs for almost two decades. And he came out, and I'll show you the quote right here. And it goes into detail on how Pfizer is not in the business of helping people. They're not in the business of curing anything. They're not in the business of fixing anything. They're in the business of making maximum amount of money based off drug sale revenue. That's what they do.
They're a drug company.
They're a drug company. They don't care. This concept's hard for some people to grasp. They don't care about your health. They don't care about the side effects from the drugs. They don't care if the drugs help you. They want to look at you as a continual consumer of their drugs to make maximum amount of revenue off you. That is it. That is the only responsibility, the only goal these companies have.
Well, I remember years ago I had an article from the Financial Times that said that they're trying to look for a drug to basically allow you to have cancer for years, if not decades, like insulin would be with diabetes, yes, to maximize profits. I mean, it was said right in the Financial Times. I had the clipping for years. I used to read it at seminars all the time because that's the goal. Because remember, their goal is to their stockholders,
right,
to make money.
They're a publicly held company. This is from Peter Ross. It was a direct quote. I worked at Pfizer for 17 years. We didn't discover drugs. We discovered markets. If a drug cured asthma in 3 days, we killed it. Chronic disease is where the money is. Cures are bad for business.
At least he's telling the
truth.
He's
being honest. Yeah. They don't care about helping you. And that's why I continue to tell people with these drugs like these GLP-1s, I'm coming another article on them today, and all these other pharmaceuticals, they're not there to stop anything. They're there to keep you as a continual consumer on them. In some cases, can they be used in a short term to correct certain things? Yes. Some drugs can be very positive in certain cases, especially stuff like antibiotics if you get deathly infected with something. You have a bad infection. Okay. But in the most cases, these drugs never are designed from the beginning phase or clinical trials to be used as a long-term drug. They're designed to be used as a short-term usage on something. That's why like you have like the cinnamon extract, the berberine that we have that burns body fat massively, regulates blood sugar, helps control insulin, increases all these different things in the body from a natural standpoint.
And those aren't our claims. Those are the claims of people who have done research on both these types of products.
And the customer reviews that we have. And that's why I appreciate the customer reviews that we get so much from you guys. And yesterday, you know, the Ultimate Multiple went on sale, and I pulled up some reviews on them. We had a review that somebody left. They said they didn't get their package.
Right.
Well, we figured out what was going on with that yesterday. And I ask you as a favor to me, if we send tracking out to you, if your package gets delayed or gets misdelivered, or just doesn't move or gets lost, please contact us. We don't have the ability to monitor every single order every single day and see where it is and how it's moving. It's just not physically possible. Nobody does in the shipping industry because you have to sit there and go through every single order. So this package got basically lost with priority mail. We've now replaced
it. Post
office. Yeah, post office.
Well, it went out yesterday after we saw the review. It went out next day air.
Yeah.
And so, went out next day air, and we reshipped the package next day air. We ate the shipping on it, but we were never contacted or telephone called or anything that this product had not been received. We saw it for the first time on the review yesterday.
So please do me a favor. If you have a problem, any problem, shipping, product, whatever it may be, please contact us first before you leave a review, and we'll make it right.
We'll fix it.
That's what we do. We make everything right. But I can't make something right if I don't know what's happening. So you got to communicate with us. Give us a phone call. I mean, we're one of the only companies in the country that I know of in the supplement health nutrition industry that you can literally dial 1-800 number and click send, and our number pops up in your office.
It was more than that yesterday. I called the individual person.
Well, no, but what I'm saying, Most companies, you can't even talk to them.
No, I called the individual, and I apologized, and I called them up four times as we were proceeding through processing the order to ship, reship.
Text to air.
I did not do a caller ID block, and I asked them to please give me a call or text me back. And I told them, this is Ted Brewer, and I apologize that you basically have not received your product. It was shipped out on the 24th of December, right before the holidays, right before Christmas, and the post office, being the infinite mess they are, probably shipped it to the wrong person and delivered
it
somewhere
else. Well, it's been stuck. It hasn't moved now. We pulled it up.
Oh, I don't buy that. It got lost.
Well, now the issue we have, and this is the issue, is we use a lot of UPS, and I'm not probably switching more to UPS now. Amazon's no longer using postal service anymore. Mm-hmm. That means they're going to have billions down in revenue now. Billions.
Mass increase prices.
So they're going to have to massively increase prices. The problem is their service and their quality isn't going to go up.
Nope.
They're not doing anything to fix their problem. They're just going to have to try to justify their own expenditures.
You know, it's funny. We had this mail carrier from HE Double Sticks. I mean, this guy was mean. I mean, he was meaner than a snake in a wagon rut.
He was mad.
Always angry. And finally, I tried to get along with him for years. And finally, I had to go report him. And I said, look, we got to have another mail carrier.
We all tried. I mean, like, dude, I'm like, bro, we got to work together. You pick up our mail every day. We do mass amount of, X-fills. We do all these shipments. We have to work together. Don't speak to me. I'm like,
no, he was angry. I mean, one time I remember I'd parked by the back door and he had to walk an extra 10 feet and he took pictures of my car to give to the postmaster that he would not walk the extra 10 feet because I was blocking the entrance. I'm not joking.
He's not exaggerating. No, he took like five photos of the driveway and basically said, I will not deliver this type of element. I will not be forced to do this. I have to walk to the back door.
10 feet.
If you guys have been to our office, It's not a million square foot Amazon warehouse. No. Clarify that.
No. He had walked 10 feet and he refused to do it. Yeah. And finally, I had a little chit chat with him out front. I said, dude, what is wrong with you? And the problem was you couldn't do anything to get rid of him because he had priority and tenure and he basically could not be fired and they could not, and he had picked the route he wanted and they could not take the route away from him. Finally, they assigned another mail carrier just for our address in his route because it was so bad.
Well, I remember I talked to the postmaster and he said, the issue you run into sometimes with some of these drivers, he said, is anything short of them running someone over and killing them, we can't terminate them. We can't terminate them. They pretty much do whatever they want. They can do whatever they want, and there's not anything we can really do about it. And I'm like, well, this is fun.
Well, so now they're going to be running massive shortfalls on the revenue. So it's going to be the same thing. I remember when stamps were like a nickel a piece for mailing stuff. You know,
oh, yeah.
Not anymore. Now you have to get the forever stamps because they go up so often that they won't work anymore.
Well, and so that's why, again, we appreciate your support. Thank you for communicating with us. Thank you for contacting us if you need anything. We do everything we can to get your shipments out same day, as fast to you as possible, and give you all these products on sale. You voted the other day for Ultimate Multiple. It won. Product of the week. It's on sale now for over 15% off. Anybody knows this product, and again, you can pull up the reviews on it. Check them out. Be sure to give us a good review if you like it. But these products, we produce the highest quality we possibly can, and we try to give you the best service we possibly can. It's a small family-owned business in Central Florida competing against the great global retail monopoly, Amazon.
You could tell yesterday when we pulled up, I said, why don't we have a one-star review?
Well, I check the reviews every day on stuff.
Yeah.
I check pretty much every day. And
I thought to myself, this is, I mean, trust me, we would not have intentionally put up a one-star review.
It wasn't on the product. It was on the shipping.
It wasn't on the product. And I thought, why do we have a one-star? So you saw it happen yesterday live if you watched the show. Oh, by the way, this is an interesting article. It says, Western civilization's decline began in the 1800s.
Interesting.
No, it is. It's the truth. It all started with all the satanic stuff that the Kabbalists put into the doggone media and also all of the stuff they were doing with these weird things calling up dead people and everything else.
That's always been going on. In my personal opinion, I think the decay and the fall of the Republic started with the Civil War.
Well, that's the 1800s. That's exactly right. And it says, after witnessing the first detonation of the atomic bomb in New Mexico, Robert Oppenheimer, a Princeton University physicist who helped lead the Manhattan Project, remember the line from Bhagavad Gita that compared the explosion's brilliance to 1,000 suns, he even uttered these haunting words, I have become death, the destroyer of worlds. That's pretty ominous. The deplorable writer has a similar sense when looking at the implosion of the institutions and the values of the United States. It says the most noteworthy philosophical change is the comfort of political and non-political discourse of philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche. you know, he started evaluating and talking about God and that God was dead, which is ridiculous. What follows from his death is that mortality, which drives the belief of God, is transformed and reversed. And he goes into detail about how all of this stuff started influencing, including Emerson and a lot of other people, and Charles Darwin, Origin of the Species, and Karl Marx and Engels and all the rest. And you know what? He's right. All of that stuff has really affected a lot of people. I'll never forget, my brother Carl had come back from Germany. He had been basically in Europe for about 5-6 years in the military as a private. And I'll never forget, he was laying in the bedroom one time and he was reading some of this weird stuff, some of this Nietzsche stuff. And Carl's always been a nutbag. I mean, his whole life was a mess. And I remember my grandfather, I asked him one time, I said, "What in the world is wrong with Carl? Was ist verkehrt mit Carl?" And he said to me in German, he said, "Carl hat ihm selbst verrückt gelesen." In other words, Carl has read himself insane by what he's put into his mind. And so that's why I urge you guys, there's certain books you don't need to read, certain things you don't need to be involved in.
You think, well, certain movies you don't need to watch.
You know, if there's a book on Satanism, don't read it.
Incantations and spells. Like, probably just the best thing not to read.
And not to
time.
Read Harry Potter. And if you watch that awesome. Stuff, and don't put that trash in your house. Don't allow yourself to have that stuff go into your mind. You know, your eyes are the thing into your soul. You don't want to look at certain images because they have so much energy and frequency with them is so powerful. Don't look at them. Avoid them. Don't burn this stuff indelibly into your synapse so you can never let it go and you remember it every time you close your eyes at night. Because it'll come back to haunt you. Don't go to scare. I lived in a haunted house one time, a legit haunted house. I kid you not. I've told you stories about it on the show before. And I tell you what, after that happened to me over 30 years ago, I've never gone to another scary movie. Once you experience the reality of the supernatural like that, it's something. It'll change you. Now you can have good supernatural experiences too. Austin had one beginning of last year. But the reality is that when that happens to you, if you allow it, it will change you for the better if you have a positive supernatural experience. If you have a negative supernatural experience, it'll scare the yik-yak out of you. I'm letting you know that. But it can still change you and you realize this is very, very real. You see that when people have these night terror dreams and they can't move and things are torturing them and you think, well, this is crazy. Well, millions of people had those dreams. And so always remember, watch what you read. You know, read books like William Kai Gar, Pawns in the Game. That's a great book. That'll go into detail on what the dark side does, but it doesn't go into detail on how they do it. You don't need to understand that. You don't need to be reading the Satanic Bible. Don't do stuff like that. Don't think, oh, I'm going to read this. There was a book by Malachi Martin. I forgot what it was called. Something about how he was exercising all of these demons out of these people. Man, I got through about one chapter in that book, and I thought, you know what? I don't want to hear this stuff. I already know it's real. It was scary. You know, it was really, Mancow sent it to me. And Mancow says, well, I've never been able to get through this book.
So you need to read it.
Yeah, you need to read it, you know. And as I grabbed it and I ordered it. And I mean, I got through one chapter and I said, you know what? I don't need to know this stuff. This is awful. And I gave it to a couple of friends of mine and I just get out of my house. And they told me, you can't get through it. And I said, I know it's horrible. I said, but it lets you know how real that unseen realm is. It does do that if you want to read the first chapter of that book. But don't be getting into the detail on how they do all this stuff because it's just not necessary. Let the priest deal with all that stuff, and you can try to stay away from it. But I read this article this morning how the 1800s had completely caused the decline of civilization, and they're right. By the way, the top Mossad leader in the world, the guy who right there works in Israel, he visits the United States for Iran for consultations on the United States. Why in the world? How does this guy pull this kind of clout? It really does. It's, the director of Israel's Mossad agency, David Barnea, arrived in the U.S. on Friday morning for talks on the situation in Iran.
I was like, oh my gosh, dude, here we go again.
According to an Israeli source and another source of the knowledge of the meeting, why it matters. Barnea's visit is part of the consultation between the U.S. and Israel over the protests in Iran and possible U.S.-Israeli military action in response to the regime's crackdown. And now they're saying that Benjamin Netanyahu actually stopped Trump from attacking Iran again. Because they don't want the blowback. Because remember when Iran rained the missiles down on Israel last year? Israel couldn't stop it. Their Iron Dome failed. Their missiles were falling all over Tel Aviv. And Benjamin Netanyahu didn't do that.
Well, and let's just clarify. And I am not an Iran supporter. Mm-mm. But Iran retaliated because basically Mossad shipped, what is it, 70 or 80 missiles they launched into Iran.
Let's not forget all the exploding pagers, Austin.
Yeah.
All
crazy exploding stuff, cell phones.
On cell phones. I mean, so all this stuff is something that, you know, Israel, what they're doing now, and let me just kind of clarify for all the folks that haven't been up to speed on this. They don't want to go in and attack Iran full blunt force again. They tried it. It didn't work. And Russia has already rearmed Iran, and China's already rearmed Iran with more missiles.
And by the way, Iran is huge. Let's clarify. It's a very, very weaponized country. It's not Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. Afghanistan's big, but Afghanistan just had old Soviet munitions and stuff they were fighting with.
Iran's real.
Iran's got some serious weaponry.
Israel noticed that happened.
And the leader of Iran comes out and goes, we have zero will or want to attack the United States. He goes, we have no reason to attack the United States. He goes, if we attack the United States, you know what's going to happen to us? Really? You saw this bomber, you know, brigade they had a couple months back. It was, we have no intentions on bombing the United States. So stop this rhetoric that we're going after the United States. Well, now they're saying all options on the table because Iran's cracking down on protests. They're killing protesters.
No, this goes back to what I was just saying. Israel is basically going behind the scenes now with Mossad, yes, and causing all of this subversion to occur in Iran to try to overthrow the government peacefully, if you can call it that, correct, in order to cause a regime change in Iran to make them, yep, favorable with Israel rather than going in with full-blown bombs, period.
And boy, it's going to be too casualty-ridden. Why, on both sides.
Why doesn't Israel just leave Iran alone? And why does
Iran hates Israel. Israel hates Iran. But so they both hate each other. They've always hated each other. It'll never change.
But two bullies on the schoolyard don't have to fight every day. They just leave each other alone. I mean, here's the thing you learn when you're a young guy. No, here's what you learn when you're...
Mutually assured destruction.
No, here's what you learn when you're in high school, in junior high school, okay? Well, the way it used to be, not anymore, and I got police everywhere. It used to be like, survival of the fittest. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what it was here in Polk County back in, in the dark ages, right? And so you learn very, very quickly, if you start working out and you get bigger, stronger, faster than the bully doesn't want to mess with you anymore because you have mutually assured self-destruction. Yeah. Everybody's getting hurt.
Everybody's getting hurt.
Okay, if you can bench press 300 pounds and you throw a punch and hit somebody in the face, it's going to hurt.
Yeah. So you get somebody on the ground and mount them.
When you get super strong when you're young, people just leave you alone because they don't want to be messed. So that's the whole thing. Israel's super strong. Iran's super strong. Just leave each other alone. Just, you've hated each other since Ishmael and Isaac, okay? You got this thing going on for thousands of years. You got this, I almost said something ugly, but I'm not. You got this contest on who's got the largest amount of urine, that kind of stuff.
Largest amount of missiles.
Whatever.
Largest missile.
So basically, you're like two dogs marking your territory, peeing on a tree, okay? And so you pee on the tree and they pee on the tree. And you're like, oh, here we go. We can do this and we can do that. No, just leave each other alone. Oh, but that's right. Iran doesn't have a central bank. So the Rothschilds don't control it. Oh, and that's right. Iran's selling the oil to China. Oh, that's right. That affects the petrodollar. Yeah, you got to go back to that. The same thing happened in Venezuela. What's your next
story? Yeah, here's a story. This is interesting now. Exemptions to vaccine mandates is climbing at a record pace, new study shows. It says exemptions for non-medical reasons rose between 2010 and 2024 at a rate they've never seen before. Nearly all states require children to receive certain vaccines to attend school. However, most states grant exemptions for medical reasons and sometimes religious reasons. Typically, was basically some type of note. So, a handful allow exemptions for non-medical reasons as well. This is more than half the counties with data available have increased in non-medical exemptions almost 5.3% on average now.
Thank God.
That's a big
Thank
number.
God. Yeah,
That's a big
God.
Deal. I'm glad that shows you that parents are actually having some reasonable.
The educated parents. Now, the college-educated parents are the ones doing this in most cases because they read the literature. They're like, well, something's wrong here. The people that are basically not college-educated, who don't read anything, who are just trying to survive their life on this planet and basically ride in a scooter or a Walmart and weigh 500 pounds, they don't think about this stuff.
Well, I do say this. Because of the media, the alt media, us media, certain people that are getting stuff out there. I had a guy come by I haven't seen in years the other day. He came out and do some painting for me. Has a great painting company.
Great guy, by the way.
Great guy. Name's Johnny.
And last name's Christmas.
Yeah, Johnny Christmas. Great painter if you ever need him in Central Florida. Stays real busy. And what's interesting about this is he brought up to me. He goes, man, this is funny. I didn't tell you this. He brought up to me. He goes, you know what? He goes, you and your dad were right. He's like, I've been reading about these vaccines and parasites. He goes, everybody needs to do a parasite cleanse, and porks cause all these parasites. And I'm like, that's a lot from you, Johnny. I mean, Central Florida, everybody loves their pork. He goes, yeah. He goes, I've been here too. He's like, these vaccines aren't what they're telling us it is. The COVID shot, all this stuff, what it's doing to everybody. And I'm like, and I didn't bring it up to him.
I told him about that years ago.
Yeah. And so what's happened is now a lot of people, even if they haven't been area educated on the topic, they're starting to realize, hey, maybe those two goons in Auburndale with a with transponder and a mic.
Those two highly educated rednecks yeah. got a microphone, a transmitter.
Man, maybe they've actually been on to something for the last decade now. Maybe we need to do some research. And this is what I've told so many parents. You know, if you decide you want to get shots for your kids or you don't want to get shots for your kids, that's a choice you need to make. Not your doctor, you. If you want to get shots for your kids, always remember this. They don't need shots until they're 5 years old. You can always defer them. Take some more time to do some more research and read some more literature. You don't have to make this decision. Well, it's 6 months on the shot schedule right now because the CDC mandated it. 8 shots for your child right now. Well, I think that's a good idea. I think I'm going to wait a year. Get out of my office. I won't see you again.
Peasant.
How is that informed consent? How is that freedom of choice?
That's not.
It's not.
It's awful. Oh, by the way. This is interesting. Somali subpoenas. Congress is moving quickly to investigate why hundreds of millions of dollars in cash have left Minneapolis in suitcases at airports.
But remember, IRS wants to audit you because you paid $300 to your grandma via Zelle.
Two powerful committee chairmen in Congress are moving quickly to investigate why Somalian immigrant couriers were moving hundreds of millions of dollars out of
I
the
wonder
US
why.
In their luggage to overseas destinations in the last few years, and whether there's any connection to a massive fraud scheme in Minnesota or terror groups in their native country in Africa. You know what's funny about this?
Oh, my God.
If you go to Europe, it used to be this bad. Now, whether it still is or not, I don't know. If you have a check, a cashier's check, you got to declare it.
You can't have more than $10,000 in cash to fly into the continental United States.
You can't even do that. And legally, if they wanted to press it, if you have a checkbook with you that hasn't been filled out, now you listening to me? This way it used to be. And you have a check that you've written from that checkbook or haven't written from that checkbook, you're supposed to declare it if it's in excess of $10,000. I thought about that one time. I thought, it's a cash-bearing instrument, is what they call it. And the crazy part about it is you got to ask yourself a question. What the heck? How'd these guys do this? So they said there was specific paperwork they had to fill out. They said some suitcases had $1 million in the suitcase.
Nothing to see here. Somalian daycare centers traveling with $1 million in cash out of the country. Really? I had a friend of mine.
Unbelievable.
Very good friend of mine out of Louisiana. Her best friend and her best friend's husband. They live in Colombia. They do dental work down there. They have a whole company, a fully legitimate company. And they came back in the United States. The wife had $8,500. The husband had like $4,000 in cash. Both separate bags. This is a true story. I've talked to him in person about this. They got stopped by TSA at the airport, do a random check on them. They got the cash. They said, oh, because y'all are married and you have an excess of $10,000, like $12,000, we're seizing the cash, asset forfeiture. You have to prove where you got the cash from now. They said, we're together, but it's our own money. Doesn't matter. The $10,000 combined. We're seizing it now. Sure, talk to him about it. And they said, we don't even know what to do about it because to try to get it back, we got an attorney that wants a $10,000 retainer to file.
Yeah, well, they always do that. That's that. They know it
costs. That's the stipulation. That's what they do. And the attorney goes, oh, yeah, I can do it for you. It's going to be about $10,000 in legal fees. Mm-hmm. But it's only $12,000. Yeah, but don't forget, if it escalates and it goes further, we got to do more time, we got to do depositions, it's going to be $600 an hour. So you might be $15,000, $20,000 to get your $12,000 back. And vast majority of the time, people just let it go. It's not worth it. This is how they figure this loophole. So how in the world is Somalians going to be leaving the United States with $1 million in cash?
They filled out the necessary paperwork. They had it. It says in the article they had.
Oh, crap. I don't buy that. I don't buy that at all. I think this entire thing has been one giant money laundering scheme through Somalia. Another gift from USAID or one other group.
Oh, by the way, a whole bunch of college athletes now have been arrested and charged with basically shaving points off of games, over 20 of them.
Ooh.
I told you this years ago.
Who would have thought that?
We warned you. All the stuff is rigged. You get billions of dollars being bet on games. Well, somebody's gonna pad the numbers.
As much as I love college ball is completely compromised now. Because when you start having quarterbacks that are getting paid $2-3 million a year, mm-hmm. you know, juniors and sophomores, 19, 20 years old.
Oh, that'd be nice if you were that kid, though.
Oh yeah, I'm not knocking them. If you can be 19 years old playing ball. At a university, making $2 million a year, my hat is off to you. That's incredible.
Can you imagine the dating pool? if you're the college quarterback, you're making $3 million a year, and you got all these college co-eds, and they all know you're making that kind of money.
Better not get my pregnant.
Well, they better not get my – well, if they did, they need to be careful,
But I mean, the thing about it is, and you think they come up to you, they come up to you and go, hey, by the way, bud, you know, you're not that – you like that big contract you got. You got a $3 million contract. Like, yeah, I'm 19. I just bought me a new Escalade. I bought me a new Lamborghini. I'm sophomore.
I've leased a private jet to go back and forth to the game.
Yeah, I got a jet card. Well, that's cool. We love your jet card. Next year, we want to renew it. We want to give you another $3 million. However, this next game, don't take it over 21 points. Yes, sir. Whatever you got to say, buddy. I'm on point. You're 19, 20 years old. You're going to do whatever they tell you to do on the point
scale. In most cases, you are.
You are. You're going to be like, I don't care.
Well, Jameis Winston got accused of that, remember?
Oh, yeah.
And
he wouldn't get paid.
He wouldn't get well.
But go there.
One of his friends was betting game. But Jameis Winston, at that point, 15 years ago, was one of the finest quarterbacks in the history of college ball. And I remember, I told you guys this. We went out and watched him play Auburn. Now, the reason I'm telling you this story in detail, 2013, is because we were there. And they basically were calling our plays out from their sideline because our offensive coordinator had left to go to Auburn that year. And they were, and Jimbo Fisher started covering up his mouth so they couldn't read the plays
over the call. They're following him around with towels on the sideline.
One of our players comes over and says, "Coach, they're calling our plays from their sidelines." Yeah. They heard him.
Well, it was the craziest thing because
they were leading. It was like 28-3.
Yeah, and I mean, and we would run a play. I mean, we're big team. We're good team. We're throwing a play, and I mean, they shut it down. Their defense would immediately shut it down. They knew every move we were making. I mean, I'm looking at him like, God, are we playing that bad or are they playing that good? Couldn't figure it out.
Well, then we basically stopped letting them read our numbers. Yep. Joe Fisher, listen,
the whole game
we dominated. And then the last drive of the game, there was a horse collar and a face mask that was not called. And then when we left, we won. You know, we had one of our players jump up like 14 feet in the air and grab a ball, bring it
that
down.
That was pretty wild.
And we won. And then what happened was, you know, we went out to buy T-shirts. And just sweatshirts. We're in Pasadena.
I was going to stock up. I'll bring everybody T-shirts.
And there's hundreds of vendors there. There was not one single T-shirt, one single jersey, one single hat that said Florida State won that game. It all said Auburn won.
Every single spot said Auburn national championship. Mm-hmm. Every single one. And I got mad. So I kept going. So I was going to get 100
shirts.
I was getting all my friends a shirt. Well, I went 100 back there. A bunch of my friends. Hunter wasn't born yet. So I was getting all these shirts. I was going to like bring a suitcase back. I mean, national championship, got the shirts from the game. Pretty cool.
Been there, done that.
I spent some money. I got a couple hundred bucks, but I was like, I'm going to do it. Couldn't buy one. Could not buy one. Physically could not find one single piece of merchandise that had Florida State national championship on it. Every single place in Auburn, they go, well, we can order it for you. I said, I want to order it. I want to wear it home. It's a good game. We don't have it. Next one, next one, next one. And finally, I said, well, Dad, I go, we weren't supposed to win that game. There is no merchandise here.
And we're not, and guys, listen to me. We're not reading something in a magazine. We were there. This happened to us. Okay, we saw the game, and we saw the fact that the vendors didn't have the correct merchandise for sale.
That's why I said, don't bet on games unless you really know.
Here's my favorite thing. This is a funny article today. Stay-at-home sons are not going anywhere.
What? Stay-at-home sons?
Brendan Law was kind of joking when he agreed he was a professional stay-at-home son during his appearance on Jeopardy in May. He had just earned a master's degree in political science from the University of British Columbia and had recently sent off a raft of applications to law school, but he was between jobs and he lived at home with his parents. He goes, I figured out, why not have some fun with it, he said. Better to be a stay-at-home son than unemployed or a schmuck or a lazy guy. He certainly wasn't expecting to set off media moment of stories and think pieces on so-called traditional sons, adult men who embraced the lifestyle of living with their parents. Kind of reminds me of that movie, Matthew McConaughey and Failure to Launch.
Yeah.
Remember that? I'm sort of the origin of all of this discourse, that Leo 28 said, as he was speaking from an apartment in Vancouver, British Columbia, where he had recently finished his first semester of law school and his first stint living outside his family home with a roommate. He was tickled by the sudden interest, and he described himself as a guy who is happy to be self-deprecating to get a laugh. Most people know that's a bit, he said, but I'm not actually endorsing or about doing nothing. And it goes in there, it talks about how during this time of acute anxiety and curiosity about young men in America, much ink is being spilled about their loneliness, their jawlines.
Jawlines?
That's what it says. In other words, they're kind of effeminate. And physical fitness, and about being a performative male. the prolific podcaster. They has, and talked to this guy, says notes on being a man, jumped to number one in New York Times list talking about this. And it says a big part of American culture is individualism, which is great because you get self-starters, entrepreneurship, and everything else. But now these guys don't want to go home. They don't want to go out. They don't want to do anything. And he goes, my mother always has an extra room in case any of us want to move back in. Social distancing and the pandemic inspired this other man to start selling stay-at-home son's merchandise with two of his friends during the summer of 2020. And it goes into detail. It says, I'm going to post this article if you guys can read it. He goes, this Bossy has never had a girlfriend. He's probably gay, but I'm not saying that. He may not be, but I'm just speculating. And said that dating isn't really a part of his family's culture. He's had mixed feelings about being single, but has embraced it. I've really learned back from dating in the last couple of years a little bit out of respect for myself. He just said he never had a date, now whatever. And he's out of the respect for the wife that I don't have. And so, you know, and then the final sentence says this, and this is kind of, it goes, how do you plan to find a wife without a job? Now, I told you guys I could do a dating podcast. You guys, many of you asked me to do it, but, you know, it's kind of weird when you do those kind of things. He goes, here's what he said. How do you plan to find a wife without a job? He goes, eventually, though, he does hope to find a wife and fulfill what he calls a traditional role of husband and provider and protector. Okay? But this guy's like in his 30s, but he hasn't been able to do that yet. And here's what he said. If I need to take out a girl on a date, I'll steal my mom's credit card.
Oh, my gosh.
For the night. Okay, let's start again. If I need to take a girl out on a date, I'll steal my mom's credit card for the night, he said with a smile. Also, don't worry unless it's your wife that's trying to get to go out with me, he said. Arrogant little brat.
Gosh. Smacked upside the face.
But, you know, I got a kick out of this article because, boy, I tell you what, it's the truth. You have all of these effeminate men now. And, you know, it's interesting, having been in the dating scene now, I've got a great girlfriend now, but having had been in the dating scene the last 4 years, I have heard so many times that the women say, there are no men to date.
Yeah.
And you can take a picture of what Cary Grant used to look like back in the, you know, back in the 50s compared to today's average typical college male. And you go, what the heck happened to us? This is horrible what's happened to us. I think we showed that picture up on here one time. I'll see if I can pull it up again. But I got a big kick out of this. Stay at home sons are here and they're not going anywhere. And you know what? Now I will say something in defense of the stay at home sons. It's a lot cheaper.
It's kind of pathetic, though. Here's things that are coming that don't need to be here. Beijing first. Canada now has opened the door to Chinese EVs to enter the market and the Canadian market now. When you just thought Tesla and Porsche EVs couldn't drop fast enough, wait till you see it. Wait, there's more. China EVs, if you want to talk about a depreciating toy out the gate, oh my gosh, these things are going to drop faster than a rock in the Great Lake of Michigan. This is nuts. It says, in order for Canada to build our competitive EV sector, we're learning from our innovative partners and accessing their supply chains and allowing them to enter the Canadian market with Chinese EVs. This is crazy to me. The fact they're actually landing. He said, to add the recent trade friction forced Beijing to slap 100% duties on Canadian canola oil. Good riddance.
Good riddance to that mess.
China used to be the largest market for Canadian seed or canola seed oil. We just want to return those levels, but to surpass them. So we're allowing Chinese EVs to help basically bring into the Canadian market. Now, if you know anything, first off, you got to look at this. And this is what a car guy talked about a while back ago. You have to understand EVs are like electronics. If you go buy an 80-inch flat screen, right? Say you go buy it at Sam's for $2,000. I don't know what the cost right now. It's probably a fair nice one, $2,000, right? He goes, you use that TV for 6 months, and you got to sell it. How much do you think it's worth? I said, probably $400 or $500. So that's about right. He goes, that's exactly what EVs are. They're electronics. He goes, they don't appreciate. You go buy a set of speakers. You go buy a stereo. You go buy a television. They don't go up in value. They drop precipitously because the next round of tech continues to come out every single year. He goes, so the EVs are not going to do anything other than what TVs do. They're going to continue to drop at a rapid pace. And he goes, the problem with that is you're in a market where people are financing them at high amounts of interest for long terms. Most people need to go buy a TV. If they do finance, it's like a six-month of firm finance, you know, with 0% interest or something, whatever. When you go finance a TV for 6 years at 8% interest and tell me how that works out for you when you go to try to sell it. It doesn't work. So again, this market, I have no idea what China's even getting into, or I have no idea what Canada's even getting into it. You just thought American EVs were bad. Wait till you see what these Chinese ones do, and now they start falling apart after a couple of years. And when you go to trade them in, you think about it. You got Porsche, brand name Porsche. You take it in a dealership, EV. They still don't want it. They don't want it. They want to liquidate.
They
hide. They hide. Imagine you come here. I've got my EV. I want to trade into, you know, Mercedes. Okay, what do you got? I got the Ching Chang Ching Ching Wow EV. Oh, we'll give you $1,000 for it. But I just paid $30,000. That's a you problem, brother. Have fun with that.
It's a golf cart.
It's a golf cart.
And golf carts have
it's
no
a $40,000 yeah. golf cart from China. Let me know how it's going to work out for you.
Oh, I got
stay
picture.
Away from the
market. I got the picture.
Of China, EV?
No.
Oh. Everybody's got a princess bracelet on that right photo.
Okay, give me that little camera, Rich. Since I can't, I'm denied access to the screen button.
You are for good reason.
I would probably push the wrong button. All right, this is a picture from 1957 with Cary Grant, and there's a picture of this dude standing beside him, and something has gone terribly wrong. And it's a fact. It has gone terribly, terribly wrong. And I don't know what to say about it, Austin, except for I've watched it happen, and I ask myself the question, what could we have done to prevent it when people have been basically programmed by the TV, programmed by the culture?
And by the schools.
By the schools.
Well, what's terribly wrong, the fact the Supreme Court is literally having to listen now to basically state bans on boys and girls sports. The fact has made all the way up to the Supreme Court. And granted, this has to now because the topic's gotten so heated. And they said the Supreme Court seems inclined to uphold state bans on boys and girls sports. They're pretty much going to rule from a federal level that men are not allowed to compete against females in schools. I mean, did we really have to take this to the Supreme Court? Did this really have to go all the way to Supreme Court justices to say, should we allow 17-year-old teenage boys to compete against girls in volleyball? That's probably not a good idea. It's just common knowledge. Shouldn't really do that. No. We're fighting it all the way to Supreme Court. Hopefully they ruled this. Pretty sure they are. This is an easy, no-brainer one. The fact that this even has to go to Supreme Court shows you the level of decay in the current country on how stupid some people are at trying to just push the agenda. This is the current thing. When I read this, I'm like, Supreme Court had to hear this?
This is so funny. I mean, Larry Ellison, one of the richest men in the world, who's a hardcore Zionist Jew. I'm going to mention that. He is forced to rename his humongous, almost 200-foot yacht because the name of his boat, spelled backwards, says, I am a Nazi. I saw
Is that satirical? Or is that...
I don't know. As a detailed in a recent venture called Vulture Profile, attention to detail doesn't appear to be the family's patriotic strong suit. After spending tens of millions of dollars on a Florida safari park, he bought himself an enormous 191-foot vessel, technically downsized from his previous 288.
Whoa. Back up. Florida safari park? What did he buy Florida? Who's this guy? I got to pull this up. Florida safari park.
He technically downsized from his previous 288-foot yacht named Aziami, which is, basically, but if you read it backwards, I am a Nazi.
What's his full name?
Larry Ellison. The name was reportedly inspired by a Shinto deity in Japanese mythology and the same name, the female creative creation of self and death. But the moniker didn't stick after Ellison was informed that the name spelled something deeply embarrassing in reverse, I am a Nazi. It's kind of a joke of succession writers' room only dream of coming to with, and especially awkward given the family's strong ties to Israel. His first wife described Ellison as an ardent Zionist and has been known to be close with current Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Now, whether or not this is true or this is a spoof, I don't know, but I thought it was funny and I thought I'd do it. So you guys do some research for me and let me know if it really happened.
He bought Lyon County Safari for $30 million in Florida.
Where's it located?
254 acres near West Palm Beach.
I've heard about that. It's a big one too.
Safari park, Lion Country. I don't know this one. I've never been to this one. I'm not going to endorse this one. They do have a place.
It's Sarasota.
Down towards Sarasota.
Pretty nice.
If you guys ever want to go, it's really cool. It's like donation only. It's cheap. If you guys want to go on a budget, you take it's like $5, $10 for a kid or whatever. It's called Big Cat Sanctuary, I think.
Yeah.
And they got, what is it? It's all rescue animals. basically that have been injured or maimed or stuff that's happened. And they have there, they have a liger. Liger. I've never seen one in person before. That's when tigers and lions breed. And they're monsters. I'm talking the head.
They're huge.
You know what you feed them? Mm. They're like two chain link fences. I mean, I'm talking things this big. I mean, it's ridiculously big. And he's chilling out, and you feed him, and then you watch him open his mouth, and you look at those teeth, and you're like, what happened was, they had this happen in India. Lions and tigers started breeding, and they actually had to do open season on them because they were going and eating all the livestock and people.
It's huge.
So I think it was like 700-800 pounds. And so there's not a lot of them running around. They had one there. But if you guys ever go there, it's a pretty cool spot. And they take care. They get all donation food scraps from all the high-end restaurants over there. Because they said they have to eat, what is it, 25? The liger has to eat between 25 to 30 pounds of meat a day to maintain just adequate size and health. That's a lot of meat.
Oh, by the way, the Daily Mail's reporting on I Am a Nazi Ship Boat, too. So I mean, apparently it may be a real story. Who knows? You guys let me know. Oh, also, I was at the there's a really good alligator crocodile place up in there in St. Augustine, if you ever have a chance to go. And they were saying how alligators basically, you know, they're always laying around in the sun because they're cold-blooded.
Right.
And they said they only need to eat, like, you know, 5,000, 10,000 calories, like, in a year.
Well, they eat. They kind of just sit on it.
No, they said because their body's metabolism is so slow because they don't have to maintain concurrent. That's why they're always laying around not doing anything, and the heat keeps them going. And so they're laying out in the sun. But I thought that was interesting. That's why there's so many of them, because they don't have to worry about the food supply because they have to eat very much.
No, as long as they get a good meal in. That's why a lot of times.
And this is a couple times a year they have to eat a big meal.
Yeah, like a small person. Or dog. Yeah,
ask Disney. They know all about that.
Yeah, that's horrible. Also, too, when it comes to eating, especially protein, this is an interesting article. Beyond muscle, how protein supports your nervous system. It says, from mood to memory, protein keeps the brain sharp and resilient with age. It says, most people think of eating protein as basically maintaining muscle mass and building muscle. However, it's much more than that. In the earliest stage of development, it supports the structural and function of the nervous system. That's why it's really important for children to have good, high-quality digestible protein like eggs. They've shown now in research that a child that eats just one whole egg a day massively has higher IQ, cognitive function, brain development. One egg a day.
That explains why you're so smart.
Well, thank you.
You used to eat them all the time.
You used to make 12 for me at a time.
I did. You didn't finish that 12. You gave about 9 of them. I think you were 9 years old.
I was like Hunter's age. A dozen eggs, man. Whole rack.
I wanted a dozen eggs, Dad.
I got 10 down.
Did you?
I got about 10. I got most of them.
And I looked at you and I laughed. I said, all right, I'll finish before you.
Yeah. It says subclinical protein deficiencies show up as reduced attention span, poor working memory, slower processing speed, and impaired cognitive performance. This could tell a reason why a lot of children now are having so many behavioral problems with poor diets. Because all they're eating is refined, ultra-processed carbohydrates and pasteurized milk.
No good fat.
They're not eating any good quality protein. They're not eating, you know, basically wild-caught salmon. They're not eating eggs. They're not eating organic bison. They're not eating venison. If they are getting protein, it's some ultra-processed crap like hot dogs or ham, which is a type 1 carcinogen, same category as tobacco products. And so they're not getting the adequate protein they need. They said it helps with neurotransmitter production. It helps out with nerve cell structure and repair. Helps out with myelin sheath maintenance, which is a really big one. It says when dried, the myelin sheath contains almost all fats, 70% to 80%, and protein, about 15 to 30%. In comparison, regular cell membrane has a more balanced mix. Early signs of compromised myelin integrity include tingling, numbness, muscle weakness, and it all links back, in most cases, to very poor protein intake or absorption. This is why also, too, if you are eating a lot of protein, which I recommend, making sure you're taking an adequate digestive enzyme with big meals, like digestive enzyme blend.
I took them last night.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, neuroplasticity and learning. Your brain is always adapting. You know, flexibility, knows neuroplasticity is what enables you to learn new things from memories, recover from injuries, to keep the system running smoothly. Your body needs protein. It also needs fat. Oh, by the way, went to the grocery store last night and got a little jar of organic beef tallow.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Cooked my eggs in it this morning.
Nice.
I wanted to see what it tasted like.
How was it?
It was good, but wasn't as good as the butter, though. But it was still really good. You know, and it doesn't burn. It doesn't scorch. It doesn't do anything. Beef tallow is really,
really
good.
Well, they fry with it. They do the fries over there at Steak and Shake.
Yeah.
I haven't had those.
Well, you know, it's so funny. Years ago, my gosh, back in the 90s, I was on a radio station called WGN in Chicago.
Yeah.
I've told the story before. I'm not going to mention any names today. And I remember I talked about the top 10 foods never eat. It was right about the same time that O.J. Simpson was running from the police. And that's how long
the Bronco.
How long ago it was. And I mentioned basically that I was, you know, the people should stay away from ham, bacon, sausage, ham, pepperoni. And then the farm forecaster was there. And he ended up basically knocking on the window of the studio and forcing himself inside. They let him in. And he grabbed the live microphone and started yelling at me because I told him that high-fat luncheon meats were bad. Yeah, this actually happened. And then we got into it. In fact, he was like standing where Austin is. He stood up above me and was holding his microphone trying to intimidate me. And I stood up right beside him, boy. I mean, I got up and stood up and put the microphone. We almost got it. I hate to say it about myself. This is 30 years ago. I was pretty scrappy about Austin's age. And we almost got in a fight. In fact, I had to come in there and shut the hall. The studio supervisor, manager, had to run inside and go to commercial break because we were having at each other. And
I'm bringing this article up repeatedly because I want people to understand this. Put it on camera four. Deli ham, processed foods, increase cancer risk. Deli ham is classified as a group 1 carcinogen by the World Health Organization. Group 1 carcinogens are known to cause cancer. Not maybe, not probably, not could. Known to cause cancer. Same category as tobacco.
That was the end of my broadcast with that station. It was on WGN in Chicago. And, you know, I look back on it and kind of laugh, but I mean, this went out to a lot. They had millions of listeners at that time. And I mean, I go downstairs and I think to myself, you know, we had the 800 number. We had our Eat, Drink, Be Healthy program. I thought, well, I just dumped out the whole sales there on Eat, Drink, and Healthy. They're not going to sell anything. And also I call up my studio. The guys were taking my phone calls for us then. And they said, what the heck? Did you almost get in a fight? I said, they said, was that stage? And I said, no, man, it happened. And they almost got in a fight. And they go, your sales are through the roof. Those Chicago boys, they like it that you want to go into it. They were a bunch of Southside Chicago, man. They're a bunch of scrappers. They thought it was great that you about to hit this guy. And I said, well, I wasn't about to hit him, but I thought he was about to hit me. I said, this was a mess. They go, well, it was great. Your sales are through the roof. And I started laughing. I thought, isn't that interesting? Because I was willing to stand for what I knew to be the truth. And now here it is, 30 years later, deli ham and other processed foods are found to increase cancer risks. Number one, class A carcinogen. World Health Organization says number one cause of cancer globally. I was right again. But the problem was they were WGN is the giant farm forecaster place up there.
Oh, yeah.
And I was telling people not to eat pork.
Listen to this. Ultra-processed foods and food products contain preservatives to enhance flavor and color. Approximately 70% of food products in grocery stores in the U.S. are ultra-processed. 70%.
That's why the United States is so sick.
It's funny. You go over to Europe or a lot of places, you don't see a lot of this trash over there. Mm. You really don't in a lot of stores. They may have a little bit, but even the stuff that's ultra-processed is still limited on how crappy it is. Compare like cereal. You know, you go over there and look at, you know, basically Fruit Loops. And cereal.
Doesn't have all those dyes in it.
Doesn't have dyes in it. Doesn't have high fructose corn syrup in it. Doesn't have a bunch of stuff in it.
Oh, by the way, Christy Noem now says that she's saying that people can walk around, the feds can walk around and ask anybody for papers.
Whoa. That's a strong
statement. Whoa. Department of Homeland Security Secretary Christy Noem, with a terrible photo of her, by the way, Thursday refused. She's getting too many facelifts.
Is it a South Park photo?
No, it's not. But the problem is, I'm not saying she has this, but a lot of women have what's called isomorphic disease. In other words, they want to constantly get something fixed, and they never look perfect enough for themselves, and they start getting too much plastic surgery. I can give you list after list after list. I'll give you one list. Meg Ryan used to be a beautiful woman. Man, she's awful looking now because of all the plastic surgery she's had. And there's a national preacher, a woman, who's had so many surgeries, she doesn't look the same person anymore. She looks frightening. And so the problem is, Christy Noem is looking frightening now. She's Department of Homeland Security Christy Noem on Thursday refused to say whether Americans should carry their own citizenship papers to protect themselves from immigration and ICE. Whoa! Instead claiming that federal agents, even those asking for papers, are following the law. So, papira bitta, are you... You know how mad this makes me, Austin?
Well, no.
This Department of Homeland Security is telling us that we have to carry citizenship papers with us.
That's what I'm saying. If I'm at the park with my kids, and all of a sudden ICE shows up in full kit, they walk up to me, sir, we need to see your passport. We see your documentation. No, I'm not legally bound to give you anything. I'm not traveling. I'm standing here with my children. You got to give us your papers right now. I have your passport, your driver's license. We're arresting you. Really? We're really going to go here right now. You're really going to do this. I mean, that what they're applying they want to go with?
It's illegal and it's unconstitutional to require people to show their citizenship papers without some basis to make a stop. So let me be clear. In order to stop somebody, detain them, question them for immigration purposes, an officer has to have reasonable suspicion. Wow. And otherwise, it says it violates the Fourth Amendment rights.
Well, and here's the thing. Seizure. You guys know me. I'm not about illegal immigration. I'm not about all these criminals and a lot of this crap that's been going on. But secondly, there's also a very fine line with the United States citizens and constitutional rights that cannot be crossed. You can't start walking. They tried to do this crap in New York. Stop and frisk. You look suspicious. We're going to stop you and frisk you, see if you have weapons on you. That got shut down. You can't just walk around and walk up to somebody. You, papers now. I don't have papers. I'm out in the park. I'm in gym shorts. Oh, you're being detained. We're sending your children to Child Protective Services now. You don't have papers on you.
I know. They tell you, spread them. We're searching you.
Yeah.
You know, the other day I went to Disney Village, which I don't like Disney Village. No. This got me mad. And so every time I go there, I don't know what it is, probably because of what happened at Epcot that time, I get searched. Every time.
And you're surprised why?
And no, listen
why
to this. Listen.
Going
so,
to
the, so the guy basically is wanting me down. He goes, unhook your belt.
Oof.
I said, unhook my belt? I said, you're getting kind of weird on me, dude. I mean, who do you think you are?
It's Disney Springs, brother. You're not a federal agent. You're a rent-a-cop. Let's
you know,
be real.
No, he's probably a damn pervert. Excuse my language. I've already had that happen to me once in St. Louis. And I looked at him and said, dude, you're getting kind of weird, aren't you? And he looked at me and said, well, people hide stuff under their belt. I'm like,
really?
What?
Where are you? You're going there to go shopping. It's a shopping mall.
No, it's a
shopping mall from Disney.
I should have pulled a doggone 45 out of my belt with a doggone FNN can on it. That would have got his attention. But the problem was that he just, I couldn't even believe
it. And you wonder. You guys wonder why I don't support Disney. It's crap like that.
Yeah. But now he pissed me off.
It's an outside mall. That's what Disney Springs is. It's an outside mall. So I don't go there.
He looked at me because I almost called his security personnel.
I don't support anything involving Disney. A bunch of dang pedophiles.
Well, a bunch of doggone gay guys.
Pedos. Wood chipper.
You know, I had that happen. I was assaulted one time in St. Louis by TSA that I filed sexual assault charges with TSA on the guy who did it to me. Sharon was with me. This is like 6-7 years ago. And she says, I am so surprised you didn't hit this dude. And I said, the only reason I didn't hit them, I don't want to be on a doggone don't fly list.
Oh, you
forever.
Will too. You hit TSA. Well, TSA's different. I'm not excusing their behavior.
Well, if it's
if it's a federal agent.
It's not gay if it's TSA. Oh, gosh almighty, it was
nope,
awful.
Not gay anymore. Now, CSA is bad enough, but you're dealing with some stupid rent-a-cop at Disney. What are you going to do? Go into a shopping? There's so much doggone law enforcement at Disney, first off. They got 50,000 cameras watching everything you do with facial recog on it. They built it through the Epcot program with the experimental prototype tomorrow. They know exactly what everybody's doing all the time.
You know what's so funny? My girlfriend's there, right? She's got her dog in a purse. Big sign, no dogs, right? Her dog's in a purse, a little tiny Pomeranian in the purse. She walks right straight through everything with the dog in a purse. Never got searched. Nobody said anything to her.
Well, you're flagged. That's why.
Oh, I know. But you're flagged. I had to. Yeah, but that was just the other night, by the way. That's why I'm still kind of irritated about it. Forget
you,
my
you subjected yourself to that, though. You subjected yourself to
it. I did.
You wouldn't have to fly for a business trip.
I didn't.
You supported.
I wanted to go to Jared Deli's and get some hot chocolate. And then I spilled the hot chocolate. I was so aggravated.
Their hot chocolate is good. I've been there in years. I miss it. You know, it sucks. Because, you know, there's rides. You know, you had, like, Rock and Roller Coaster and Tower of Terror and MGM. I would love to go ride those again with my son. I really would. But I won't. Because I'm not going there. I'm not giving him money. I'm not going to support him. I got passes to Universal. You know, don't get me wrong. Universal Studios and Islands of Adventure is not the end-all, be-all. But, my gosh, they don't treat you like you're a sticky, you know, criminal when you try to go there. They don't have a bunch of pedos trying to tell you to unhook your belt. I mean, every time I go to Universal, I just walk through. They have a metal detector at the very beginning. That's it.
Well,
walk through.
All this pervert wanted to do is get a good look at me down there. That's all he was trying to do.
Unhook your belt.
Yeah.
Unhook your belt.
God, my God.
I'm going to hook my 43X. You go any further.
Yeah, by the way.
Fear my life. I'm standing my ground.
National Transportation Safety Board knew of a plane part flaw years before the crash in Louisville when that Louisville plane lost its engine and everybody died. Ugh. They knew there was a problem with the Boeing plane as far as its support, and they did not do a recall on it. And I mean, unbelievable.
That's a lawsuit now, boy.
It says the advice said mechanics should add a simple look over the part during regular inspections and pointed to a newer version that doesn't have the groove where the cracks can start. However, Boeing determined the problem would not create a safety of flight condition or make the engine fall off or an issue serious enough to make the plane feel unsafe to fly. Oh, we're out of time. Hey,
I cooked the clock on me.
I did. I cooked the clock. Hey, Ultima Multiple's on sale. I'll see you guys at church on Sunday. I love you guys. I appreciate you. And thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. And God, thank you for putting up with a couple of well-educated rednecks out of Polk County who have a transmitter.
Don't support Disney. If you guys need anything, Team Healthmasters, healthmasters.com. A lot of products on sale right now. Thank you for your reviews. Thank you for your feedback. If you need anything, Ultimate Multiple on-sale product of the week. Be sure to stock up on it, 15% off. Have a good weekend. Stay healthy. Stay strong.
And keep your hearts and minds in Jesus every single day of your life. I love you guys.
Thank you.